Kelly, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
We had Adam on the show yesterday. Excellent interview. Really learned a lot about the film. Tell me kind of how you got involved and why you felt this would be a film that you wanted to be a part of.
Well, I think the most important thing for me was always, you know, Adam kept, you know, he approached me a couple times. I told him I was interested in it, and I told him I would help out, but I just wanted the story to be told in a certain way that I felt was, you know, was how we actually feel internally as guys. And I think that no matter whether you believe, this isn't about whether you believe in fighting or not believe in fighting. It's about what's actually gone on already. It's more about, hey, this happened in our game. It's archived in our log, and maybe it's a misunderstood role a little bit. So I'd like, if you would, I go, I'll help. But in order for me to help, and I don't want to say give him credibility. Adam's got a tremendous amount of credibility, but I think it's hard for them to get the doors open in certain situations.
Oh, yes.
I said I have no problem doing that, but I want the story to be told somewhat in the eyes of the guys that are actually there, and I want to make sure that I can get some kind of approval on it. And, you know, he was gracious about that. And I mean, there's certain things they left in the movie I didn't want them to. And it turned out to be that because that's what they're good at. That's what they do. So they know what they're supposed to do. And I needed to live with that too and understand that. But I think the story overall needed to be told because it's a part of the history of our game.
Do you mind sharing what was it originally you didn't want in? And now when you saw the film, you're like, yeah, okay, I see. It makes sense.
There was a couple of things. I think first, one of the things I didn't want in, I don't think was, you know, I didn't really want to talk about the, you know, the loss of our guys that played the game that had that role. But I think the way that they presented it was fantastic. I think they presented it in a way that basically shows that you'll hear Brian McGrattan say, look, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict. I didn't drink and do drugs because I fought. I did it because I was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and that's my addictive personality. But he, you know, he didn't blame it on anything other than what it really was that was what he was. And I think that's kind of the same way we feel about the guys we lost. Lots of people suffer from depression or different sorts of things. And certainly it can be, you know, pushed forward with concussions and medication and certain different things. But at the end of the day, you know, we all came in here wanting to play like Messier and Gretzky and guys like that, but we sacrificed something. And yet, whether you're a goal scorer or a fighter, you can all have them same issues.
Kelly Chase Jones. And I think, Kelly, one of the misconceptions at times is that, oh, you know, these guys were only tough guys. And I'm like, well, actually, a lot of them were actually really good players in junior. Like, you know, I was looking at you had 21 goals and 55 points in 70 games, and you had 343 penalty minutes. So you're spending a lot of time in the penalty box. And in the IHL one year, the number that kind of stunned me was when you had 20 goals, 54 points in 61 games, and 406 PIM. So imagine how many points you had if you'd have stayed out of the sin bin.
I would have probably had less because I wouldn't have got the room.
Ah.
Nelson Emerson wouldn't have won Rookie of the Year, and David Bruce for certain wouldn't have won the MVP of the league that year, and they were my two line mates. So if I'd have played any different than I played, we would never have had the success. And on top of it all, we won the cup. So you know what? If you can look, I say this in the movie. Brendan Shanahan's my buddy. Stefan Quintal's my friend. I've roomed with both of them. I lived with Brendan. I know how they think and how they tick. If they were to tell me they were going to fine me for hitting Steve Yzerman, $1,500 or $15,000 in Detroit from behind, I'm going to tell you this. It wouldn't have deterred me if that's what I felt like I was going to do. I knew what the fine was before them calling me. It was Probert and Kosher. I didn't do it. I didn't hit Gretzky from behind in Edmonton. And you don't have to agree with it. I'm just telling you how it happens. That's the way the league was.
Yeah.
And that's how we thought. So, you know, you can't deny that's how we I mean, it's like saying, well, that's not really true. How do you know it's not true? I lived that. I know how it is. It's like me saying I know how it's like what it's like to win the Stanley Cup, and I say this and that. I don't really know. I've won every level. I've won a national championship three times as an owner and junior in the States. But I don't know what it's like to win the Stanley Cup. I don't really know. I think I know, but I don't really know. But the one thing I'm certain about is that role, and I'm certain about the things we talked about in the movie. And to me, that's what we were trying to say is, look, I, no matter how you think the role should be played, whether you liked it or you didn't like it, this is what happened and why it happened. And we got lots of credibility because we were honest about a lot of things that we cover a lot of issues.
Kelly Chase joins us, executive producer of Ice Gardens. It debuts tonight in Edmonton at the Garneau Theatre on 109th Street. There's about 25 tickets left, and you can only get them walk up at the door. It's going to be fantastic. I know there's going to be a Q&A afterwards with Kelly and Strudwick, and I think Dave Simico is going to be part of that and much more. So it should be a lot of fun. I noticed you tweeted out earlier today you're looking forward to seeing it, and then you put the hashtag, I'm a crier. Now, is that saying you were crying when you were filming the movie or when you watched it the first time?
You'll have to go there and see it.
Is it, was it that, like, when you, because you kind of knew, I'm guessing, parts of it, but obviously you didn't sit in on every interview. When you saw it for the first time, was it what you expected, or was it better than you'd hoped?
I was very cautious and very critical, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And the reason I was is because I didn't want to let the guys down that played the same way I played that either were in the movie or were not in the movie. And I watched it three times and I slept on it. And then I responded on an email on some things I'd like to have seen changed. Some of them got changed and some didn't. And then we had some conversation on why and what we know, and the thoughts were Brett Harvey worked extremely hard on making sure that it was a success and why he was determined to put certain things in. But I think, listen, the very first little private showing on the movie had 30 NHL players, current and former players, at it. And you want to talk about nerve-wracking. You know, the very people I didn't want to be responsible for letting down were there. And at 5 o'clock, it started to enter into my mind that this was going to be a situation where I was getting some nerves. I was getting a little bit anxious, and I was like, oh, my goodness, what if they think this sucks? And then 90 minutes later, we wasted 90 minutes of their time. And as it turned out, I looked over at the end of the film. I sat at the very top with Adam, and I walked down the hill and down the studio seating, and I walked down the hill towards the stage, and I could see the emotion in – you know, the tears running down Derek Dorsett's face and the tears running down Brendan Morrow's. And I watched the emotional reactions of Kelly Buchberger and Mike Keen and Brian Scrudland and, you know, Garth Butcher and guys that looked at me and kind of grinned and shook their head like a note of approval. And I knew that it was okay then, that Adam and Brett had put something together. These guys are exceptional at what they do. This is their business, their livelihood. They know what they're doing, and they hit a home run here. This is going to be a tremendously successful movie, no matter what you think of fighting. That's not the debate. The debate is not whether it should or shouldn't be in. It's about what's already gone on, and it's pretty gripping. I'll tell you what, if you needed some insight and a real look, I hope that people see it.
This many years afterwards, Kelly, for you, of course, you retired in 99-2000, of course, and you're still in the NHL, analyst for the St. Louis Blues, very good one, I might add. And you watch the game, and it's definitely evolved for sure. It's not nearly as many fights as there was, but when you came in the 80s, you know, the game was still about guys fought and played. And then into the mid-90s, it kind of went into – guys only fought, you know, they got like 4 minutes a night. Like in the 80s, you know, Tiger Williams, he fought a lot and scored 35 goals. How frustrating was it being in that to see how it kind of changed and they only looked at guys to basically be a 4 or 5 minute a night guy and all he did was fight?
Well, I think Tiger's an example of a guy that could play the game, but I think you guys all, you know, we all can agree that it wasn't like Kevin McClellan and Dave Semenko and Edmonton were getting big minutes. Now, They played, and it was a different type of game. It wasn't as tight defensively, and there wasn't video, so there wasn't as much, you know, made of the technical side of the game, and everybody became a little bit more of a one-trick pony. I think you look at, you know, guys that were just face-off guys, and there was guys that were, you know, out there just a penalty kill. I mean, even though they spread the minutes around, I think You know, it's good to bring up that there was lots of specialties in the game being made of guys. I mean, these guys started to make teams because they could draw penalties. I mean, when the hell was that ever a job in the NHL? And yet, you know, we employed guys to do that. So I think the game evolved, and it's always changing. And you know, and again, it was, you know, it's hard. But I had a great coach in Joel Quenneville at the end of my career who I don't think there's a guy that probably better understands how to manage players than this guy. I mean, he was so good about, you know, he took me aside one time early and just said, look, I don't understand your role the way you understand your role. And I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and the latitude to do your role as you see fit, as long as you don't embarrass your teammates, yourself, and the organization. And you'll have my support all the time. Well, what the hell more do you want to hear from a coach than that? You know? And so I was very fortunate to play for what I consider the best coach in the NHL to this day.
Kelly Chase joins us. And Kelly, the other thing that was interesting, Adam was kind of chuckling yesterday because someone asked you in the Q&A if you looked at yourself as a fighter or as a hockey player. And the reason I chuckle at that is because I think most people really didn't understand how, even though, sure, you had a lot of fight, 2,000 penalty minutes, right, and not a lot of goals at the NHL level, you were a really skilled player just to get to the NHL because you don't get scouted and looked upon if you can't dominate a major junior.
Well, no, I know, but I said in the movie, too, I said, you know, what happens is lots of times you get asked foolish questions by people that try to understand it because of what they've read or try to understand it because of their own ideologies or whatever, but yet they look at you and paint you with a certain brush because they feel like, you know, like, hey, that you, you know, you're not an intelligent, you don't have an intelligent thought, you don't have, you know, you're not somebody who can get through the process of thinking through something or so on and so forth, so they ask questions, and the only time they're really in a locker room is when you're in your underwear. And so when he asked that question, I was like, this is why we made the movie. You're the reason we made the movie. You're the guy. You're that guy. You're the guy that humiliates or embarrasses the guys and comes up with the word goon and so on and so forth. So to me, that, you know, there's a great example of why we did the movie.
One last one for you, and it doors open tonight at 6. It starts at 7 o'clock at the Garneau. And I know there was lots of guys, Adam was telling us after the fact, like, oh, man, I wish I could have got part of this. You know, they didn't realize you can't interview everybody, of course. But Adam's even talked about it, Kelly, about, you know, maybe having a further story on. Do you think it's something, sequel might not be the word, but just an added-on chapter to this story moving forward?
Well, we've probably got 45 minutes of stories that never even made the movie, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, it's one of those scenarios where, you know, you probably have some of the greatest stories because if you were trying to tell it in the whole evolution, you didn't have time to get it in the movie. So we have a whole bunch of that footage that I'm sure we'll send out. But I can tell you that the stories from certain guys that didn't make the movie and how we would structure it and do it, I mean, Adam's a creative genius, and if there's a way we can do it and him and Brett can put it together so that it makes sense, I'm sure there will be a sequel.
Well, Kelly, look forward to seeing you tonight at the Edmonton premiere of Ice Guardians. Really appreciate your time. Thanks.
All right. Take care.